hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, let me just say, I am so pleased to be here this Sunday. And my heart was so full of thanksgiving after last week. And my heart has continued to be filled with a spirit of thanksgiving as we made it through last week and into this week. I have seen God doing some pretty amazing and wonderful things. And I just praise Him. Faithful He has been to us. And I think one of the things that I'm most excited about was that we had the privilege this past week of having Heidi and Andrew Johnson here among us. And they spent the week coming from far away Atlantic, Iowa. Anybody know where Atlantic, Iowa is? Okay, that's what I thought. They're long way away. And they came because Andrew was candidating for the position of associate pastor of music and discipleship. And while they were here, I watched the Lord work in them, and I watched the Lord work in you and through you throughout the week as you sacrificially gave of your time and your talents and your treasures to provide for them and to serve them. You know, a couple people in particular, Karen Haslam poured out hours in preparation and coordination. Our sister Kristen Cash Holland poured out hours and hours with other folks cooking and preparing for our public events. Matt gave his car. Matt Taggart let them use his car for the week. John and Rose Gachin provided them housing. And we even had a sister, Jamie Berardi, who helped them look for houses in the area, in case they were called and they wanted to get a sense of just what the housing market looked like. So many people gave of themselves through that week. And during the week, you know that Andrew and Heidi participated in a host of public events. They endured hours of private conversation. They met with the music team and they shared in an evening musical jam session on last Thursday evening, the Thursday evening while they were here. And so we got a chance to see them play, and they are truly gifted musicians. And I trust that you had the chance and were able to be here last Sunday when Andrew brought to us a message from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. And you know, I also praise God for those of you who were able to come out throughout the week to visit with them and to ask questions of them and to just laugh with them and try to get to know them just a little bit better and give them a flavor of who we are at Grace Church and to show them our love for Jesus. You know, when I was dating Karen, I really wanted her to meet my parents. I loved my parents. I thought my parents were just terrific. And so I really wanted to find an opportunity for her to come and meet them because I thought they were a great sales pitch. You know, I'm goofy, but they're squared away. So I thought, you know, this is really good. And I look forward to it because they were not an embarrassment to me. And you know, as I saw the Johnsons, when the Johnsons came into town, my heart was just swelled with, I trust, godly pride. Because I was looking forward to having them meet the family of God here at Grace Church that I think the world of. And I would introduce anybody to this group of people. We're characters. But it was such a joy to be able to introduce them to so many people and to just have you pour out God's love on them. I also want to praise God for those who, for whatever reason, weren't able to come out that week. And I praise God because I trust that even if you weren't able to come out to meet them, I trust that nevertheless, you were praying for them. And you were praying for this process. I know in one person in particular, I think of our sister Shirley Ballantyne, who is a charter member of Grace Church, who was kept away due to illness, who desperately wanted to be out to meet them in person, but who made it very clear to me that she was praying faithfully for them and for God's will to be done at Grace Church. How cool is that? That she, even though she couldn't be out, even though she ended up spending, you know, a little bit of time in the hospital, she wanted to make sure that we knew that she was praying for Andrew and she was praying for the church family. And throughout the week, as I said before, I saw so many answers to prayer. You know, I was in faraway Massachusetts the week before they were to arrive, and I was looking at the weather. I was supposed to drive from Massachusetts to Albany. And I kept looking at the weather and thinking, I have this aged van, and I'm going to have to leave there. I'm going to have to drive to Albany, pick them up at 10:30, and take them back here into the valley. And so while I was thinking, I'm looking at the weather reports, and it wasn't good, and I was kind of praying on it. I got a text out of the blue from a brother who said, hey, I got a RAV4. What do you think about my going up and getting them? And I thought, oh, praise God. That's terrific. And I actually laughed out loud when I got the text. And I was with my family at the time, and they said, what's so funny? And I said, look what God has done. Look what God has done. And so he provided someone to drive up there and pick them up. And they didn't come in at 10:30 at night like they were supposed to. They actually came in closer to 2 in the morning. And yet that brother was faithful, and he stayed with that task, and he ended up bringing them home. They didn't get in until 3:30 in the morning. And yet that brother joyfully served. What an amazing answer to prayer. And then at the end of the week, as the week was coming to end, I found myself, my back decided to do its thing, and I'm feeling sore, and I can make the ride, but I'm feeling sore. And another brother, who's got, you know, he's got his own physical stuff, comes up to me and says, can I go to Albany and take them back? And my first thought was, no, I didn't pick them up, I need to do this. That was my first thought. But then I got thinking after that, saying to myself, you know what, this brother desires to serve. This brother has felt led of the Lord to make the offering to drive them north. Why would you stand in the way? Why would you stand in the way? Just because of your pride? And I think, yeah, that was pretty much it. Just my pride. That kind of pales in comparison to what the Lord was doing. And so this brother and his wife took them back up to Albany that day. What a tremendous gift. And now, I'm praising God because we're entering into a new phase in this process, a new phase. You see, the elders and deacons have unanimously agreed to recommend to the congregation that Andrew and Heidi be called into ministry among us and to help us and to carry out the vision to take grace beyond the walls. But the authority to call the Johnsons to minister here doesn't rest with the elders, doesn't rest with the deacons. It rests with the members of Grace Church. And so, we want to help to prepare the church to make this decision. And so, we've been calling the church to prayer, knowing that the Word has promised that the Lord will generously provide us the wisdom we need so that together, we would be able to say it seemed right to us in the Holy Spirit to act as we believe we are being led. To act to receive Andrew into ministry, or to not receive him in ministry. All the while being cognizant of God's command to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, knowing that God's yes is a blessing and God's no is a blessing. You know, sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid to ask God, to depend on God, to lean on God, to ask God to truly lead us because we really want a particular answer. We really want a particular answer, and so we're hesitant to lean on him. But brothers and sisters, we don't want our particular answer. We want God's answer. We want God's answer. And so we'll go forward in prayer saying, Lord, you direct us. If as a body we say yes, then it is yes. And if as a body it is no, then we will give him praise and glory and adoration, for he is due that. And we will recognize that even in his no, we are being spared perhaps something. So we go into these weeks of prayer in preparation for the congregation to make this decision. We don't go in presumptuously. We go in asking the Lord to lead each member of Grace Church to be thinking on how is God leading them in these days. And along the way, we're praying for protection. We're praying for protection from the slings and arrows of the evil one who likes to work in times of decision. He likes to sow confusion. He likes to sow disunity, and he likes to keep us from turning to God and seeking his will above our own. He likes to keep us from trusting that Christ will lead us. So again, to prepare our hearts in prayer and to resist the devil's schemes, this past week we hosted an evening prayer meeting this last Monday. And tomorrow at noon, we'll have another one right in the middle of the day. So if you're able to come out, we'd love to have you come out. And then on Monday, February 13th, at our congregational meeting, We will vote on the recommendation and the resolutions to either receive Andrew as the associate pastor or to not receive him. And I pray that you will join with me on that Monday, the 13th, to pray and fast before that meeting so that we are adequately prepared to step in to that discussion. And in all of this, I find myself profoundly thankful. Profoundly thankful to be a part of a church family that looks to the Lord for his leading, and profoundly thankful for a church family that trusts that God will indeed make his will known to us in this matter. But you know, that's not all that I'm excited about. That's not all that I'm excited about this morning. Because this morning, I'm also praising God that we have the privilege of seeing three children declare their faith in Christ and to act upon that declaration by being baptized. I got to tell you, gang, there is nothing that floats my boat more than seeing someone come into the kingdom of God. And then to see them act on that calling, to act on what God has done in them by choosing to act in obedience by being baptized. I can live off that for months. That's just the best thing ever. And this morning we're going to baptize Micah Berardi and Kathleen Muggy and Caleb Leary. And as I thought on these two little brothers and this little sister in the Lord, the Spirit led me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Can we put that up on the board, please? Thank you. And this is what the word says there. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Before we get into the word, let's take a moment and pray, shall we? Father God, I entrust this time of devotion, this moment of baptism, into your hands, into your care and keeping. I thank you, Father, that your Spirit has been at work in these three children. And I pray, Father God, now that your Spirit will be at work in these, the thoughts and meditations of my heart and mind. And I pray, Father, that you will use them to your glory and to your praise. And in all this, we just entrust ourselves to you, knowing that you love us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, you know, almost right from the start, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the day, they had a problem with Jesus and his message. You know, they found all kinds of things that disturbed them. But on the other hand, Jesus' message of the coming of the kingdom of God resonated with so many folks. So he often found himself met with large crowds wherever he went. And on this particular occasion, Jesus had just gotten done answering yet another set of questions that the Pharisees just needed to have answered. Needed to have answered, I suspect, in an attempt to self-justify their current position and determine their legitimacy and to solidify their legitimacy as the people who held the authority in religious matters in the nation of Israel. And in this case, what they wanted to know was whether or not it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason. That was the question that they laid before Jesus. And as was his pattern, Jesus gave them an answer. He gave them an answer they weren't expecting. He gave them an answer they didn't like. And he gave them an answer that was challenging to their current patterns of behavior. Now, we don't have time to talk about his answer right now, as powerful and as challenging as that answer is, that teaching is for modern sensibilities. But even though we don't have time to talk about that answer, I think it's important that we recognize that this story that we have before us is embedded in that. It has that as its context. Matthew was connecting them in some way, and we see that when Matthew says, then people brought little children to Jesus. The then there, that then, is referring to Jesus having just responded to the Pharisees. When we look at text, we always want to look at them within the context. We want to see what's around them, okay? Now, it wasn't uncommon for people to bring children to itinerant teachers, to rabbis. and to have them place their hands on them and to ask them to bless them. That in itself is not very unique. But what is interesting here is that we get a clue about the way people view Jesus by the way they're acting here. You see, we're coming to understand that the people recognize Jesus as important. They recognize that Jesus was special. And even though they didn't fully understand just how special he was, even if they didn't realize that he was in fact the Messiah that they had longed for, they still recognized him as different. And they wanted the best for their children. And in this moment, the best meant that having Jesus pray for their children and bless them was the way that they could provide for their children. And so they brought little children to Jesus. And as I think on the three children that will be baptized today, I'm mindful of the people who have stood alongside them. Moms and dads, faithful grandparents, faithful friends, who've desired the very best for these children. And as such, they have sought to introduce them to Jesus. They've sought to bring their child to Christ that that child might be blessed in him. And how blessed are these three children? How blessed any child is to have a family member or a community member or family friend around them who loves them and who seeks to bring them before Jesus in any way they can figure out how to do it. In any way that can speak into the heart and mind of this child, to have people around you who love you enough that they want you to know Jesus. They want you to come to Christ. They want to introduce you to Jesus in all of the in all that comes their way. And along the way, those same people are trusting that the Spirit of God will speak into the child's life and awaken that child to the life-giving message of the gospel. That life-giving message that says this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are not just broken people. We are sinners by nature and by choice. We are utterly separated from God. And the only thing that we deserve, the only thing that is our birthright because we are sinners, is God's judgment and God's wrath. Now, if we were to leave it at that, that's bad news. But it's actually worse, because the scripture says this. The gospel declares that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't mean some of us are sinners by nature and choice. It means all of us are sinners by nature and choice. There's not one of us who does good. There's not one of us who is righteous unto ourselves and can stand before a holy, righteous, awesome God and try to impress him with our righteousness and our purity. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then the scripture says this: for the wages of sin is death. Is death. Think on that. Think on that. The wage that we earn, unrepentant sinners before God, is to receive his wrath and to have him declare us guilty, and then to receive his final judgment of death. And we're not talking about a death like we think of it in the physical sense. We're talking about a death that implies a continual separation from God for all eternity. No light, no grace, no peace, no hope, no joy. This is death in reality. When there's not even a hint of his favor. We walk through this life, gang. We walk through this life continually pounded by God's general grace. By God's sending us a friend, providing us food and hope and throughout our days, whether we know him or not. He provides us so many good things. But when he speaks about that coming judgment, that coming time when the wages of sin will be death, it means ever and forever apart from him, with no general grace, no peace, no hope of future redemption. You just get you for all eternity. And you get you separated from Christ. That gives me a shiver. That gives me a shiver. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the gospel declares. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gospel also declares that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were as far away from him as we could be, while we were still in a state of rebellion toward him, shaking our fists at him, saying, we do what we want to do when we want to do it. You are not sovereign. You are not God. You are not Lord over us. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still in that state, he sent his son. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How awesome a God is that? How awesome is our Lord, who would make a way for us to be able to come into his presence, even though we were natures by sin, by choice, and by nature. He provides a way through faith in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel message that has been proclaimed to these children again and again. That is the gospel message that they would respond to. That's the message that faithful parents want their children to hear and receive above all else. Above a good education, above a good job, above a nice home, above a great 403B and medical plan, above a good marriage, all of which are good things. All of which are good things, but all of which are perishing. You understand, all of those things are perishing. They don't go into the box with you. And so, faithful parents want their children to fix their eyes not on what is seen, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, so that they will love the Lord God, and so that they might answer the Spirit's call, recognize their sin, and put their faith in Christ Jesus, and then know the wonders of his forgiveness, and then know the wonder of his abiding grace, and then to know the promise of his hope of eternal life. Dear ones, how blessed are these three children that they have had people in their lives that wanted to bring them to Jesus. Amen? Amen. But you know, sometimes there are obstacles that get in the way of folks coming to Christ. And in this case, it was the disciples. In this case, it was the disciples. You know, those men that had left their jobs, placed their faith in Jesus, and walked away from everything they knew to follow him all over Israel. And Matthew tells us, but the disciples rebuked them. But the disciples rebuked those people who brought those children before Christ. The disciples chastised those people for trying to bring those children to Jesus. And in that moment, like the Pharisees, they were standing in opposition to Christ's work. That opposition was coming from a different source. It wasn't coming from religious zealots. Now it was coming right from within the camp, right from within those followers of Christ, real close. Now, there's nothing in the text. There's nothing in the text that explains why. But there were other occasions in Jesus' ministry when the disciples took it upon themselves to guard the master from folks. Now, maybe they were playing out what they had seen other disciples do for other rabbis. You know, sort of sheltering them from the crowds. And in that way, they could kind of uplift their relationship, their closeness with the rabbi, because they would make it clear that it was kind of a tight circle. You had to be within the circle if you were going to talk to the rabbi and come close to God, you know? So we're going to keep you at a distance. Maybe they had seen that played out. Maybe they were playing that out in their minds. Or maybe they just assumed they knew what was best for Jesus. Maybe they thought they had to manage his ministry. It's kind of funny to think about, you know? Sitting around saying, you know, Jesus is just a terrible time manager. He's never going to be able to complete his ministry. He's never going to get all the way through Judea and Galilee unless we keep him on track. So we're just going to keep him moving. Keep moving, Jesus. We got other places to be because, you know, you've got things that you've got to accomplish in your ministry. How farcical. I pray that they didn't think that. But you know what? We can be funny that way. It's how often we know what's best for the other person, what God's got planned for them. But whatever reason, they tried to keep the children away. They just couldn't imagine that such as these, I mean, little kids, would be important to the rabbi, to Jesus. And this reminds me that as hard as faithful parents work and pray to bring their children to Jesus so that they might hear the gospel message, there is an enemy at work among us. An enemy who desires to throw up a host of roadblocks. A host of things that get in the way. Roadblocks intended to keep Jesus from blessing anyone. The enemy, Satan, is constantly at work attempting to keep us from bringing folks to Jesus. And even as we bring others before the Lord, even as we try to introduce them to Jesus, that same enemy is at work in the person we're trying to bring to Jesus. That enemy is still at work in them, trying to keep them from listening and receiving the word. So the enemy is at work at both ends of the process. Reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where it says the devil prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. But even though we know there are roadblocks, even though we know that there's an enemy at work, we also know this. We know that if we continue to submit ourselves to the Lord, that is, if we will continue to live our lives faithfully before the Lord, if we will continue to live out His command to go and make disciples, if we continue to strive to bring people before the Lord, if we continue to live our lives as a living testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll in essence be pushing back at the evil one. We will be resisting the devil and his schemes. And James tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee. He will flee. He's not looking for a fight. He's looking for a quick win. He's looking for an easy, isolated prey that he can confuse and confound. So, there'll be roadblocks. There will be roadblocks. There were roadblocks for these children in the story, and they came from right within the camp. And some of those roadblocks are going to seem insurmountable to us. But we are called to be a people who will continue to place our trust in Jesus and our hope in Jesus and continue to find ways to bring children and every other person who doesn't yet know Jesus, who hasn't yet been brought to Him, has not yet been introduced to Him. We'll continue to go forward in that mission. And in so doing, we will frustrate the plans of the evil one. Because we are not those who shrink back. We are not of those who are destroyed. So we'll face the roadblocks, but we won't be crushed. We'll keep on. We'll keep on introducing people to Jesus. Praise God for faithful parents who continued, even through the roadblocks, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to their children. Praise God for parents who are continuing to do that even when their children push back at it. Thank God for faithful parents that they go through the roadblocks. Amen? And when Jesus heard the disciples' rebuke to these people, as he heard them put up a roadblock to these children coming to him, Jesus acted on their behalf. And he said this, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Now that's good stuff. That's really good stuff. And oh, how thankful I am that Christ came for the lost, and he wouldn't allow anything to deter him from carrying out the will of God. Whether it came from the Pharisees trying to confuse the message, or it came within the camp, Jesus kept his mind and his heart focused on his mission, focused on doing what God had called him to do, and that was to go seek and save the lost. And Christ intervenes. I love that picture. that while this was going on, even as the roadblock was being placed up, Jesus himself intervened to bust down that wall, to break through that roadblock that was being put up. And he cleared the path for these three children to come before him. And then this, I think he made it abundantly clear, not only how valued those children were, how committed he was to God's mission to seek and save the lost, but also how much of an advocate he is, that he is the one clearing the way. He is the one that so loves these children, so lost, loves the sinner, that he is making the way so that their road is clear. They may choose not to walk down that road, but God himself in Christ Jesus is not in the way. He turns no one away who comes to him and confesses faith in him. So, there have been many who have sought to bring their children before the Lord. And they have faithfully worked and prayed and done everything they could to remind their child of the saving work of Christ, to remind the child of the most important of decisions. And the roadblocks kept coming up and coming up. And those faithful parents, they just keep coming. They just keep coming and coming. And they do so buttressed by the knowledge that Christ himself is making the way. Christ is not in their way. Christ will receive their child. They just need to keep praying and keep offering their child and keep their child before Christ and keep walking faithfully, that their child may see and their child may make the decision on their own. And through it all, we attest to the truth that Christ is at work through the power of the Spirit. He's receiving folks and he's clearing the way of roadblocks. And now the children we're baptizing today, each one made a confession of faith that is in keeping and in proportion to this stage of their life. And this, I believe, is testimony also to God's faithfulness to them as he's worked in each one where they are to receive them in faith and to have them seek him and seek to obey him by being baptized. And I got to tell you, that gives me great hope. For if we can do this, if he, God, can do this mighty work in such as these little brothers and this little sister, then I choose to trust that he will do it for others. So let's continue. Let's continue to bring our children and our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers to the Lord, knowing that he desires to work in them his will, that all would be saved. And Matthew says this in verse 15, when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. But I have to say, I like the way Mark says it in chapter 10 as he retells the same story, Mark chapter 10, verse 16. Because there it says this, and he, that is Jesus, took the children in his arms. He took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them and blessed them. I really appreciate Mark giving us that little bit of detail. Because in that moment, you see Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, holding these little children and receiving them to himself. And it reminds me that these children we are baptizing today are and will continue to be received in the same way. Having placed your faith in Jesus Christ, Christ will never let you go. Ever. And Christ holds you, and God holds Christ within his hand. There is no greater picture of security that you can have, little brothers and little sister, than to know that God will never leave you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. Not sickness, not hardship, nothing. And so with that security, I ask you, and I remind you, you keep your eyes fixed on him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Remember that just as he received these children, he has received you. And so, I'm rejoicing in this moment. And I choose to praise God for those who seek to bring others to the Lord. Thank you, faithful moms and dads. Thank you, faithful friends. Thank you, faithful grandparents. Keep at it. Your child may not have yet received him. Be at peace. God loves that child. And God is continuing to call to them. Don't give up. Continue to pray. Continue to bring them before the Lord. And I choose to praise God that He has and will continue to work through the roadblocks that get in the way of our sharing of and receiving of His saving message. Roadblocks will come. I promise you, kids, that having given your faith to Christ and putting your trust in Christ, that roadblocks will come. Trials will come your way. Because the evil one wants to get in your way now. He wants to get in the way of you continuing to trust in Him. And I know that as faithful parents continue to give themselves to sharing the love of Christ with their children, oh, the roadblocks will come. But the roadblocks are not all that important. They're really not really that relevant. Because Christ has also cleared the way. Christ is at work. He is for you, not against you. And so I choose to praise God that He has received and blessed each of these children. And he has received all who believe in like manner as they put their faith in Jesus. Can the church say amen? Now I'd like to invite Micah Berardi and Kathleen Muggy and Caleb Leary to come join me on the platform up here. Is this Micah? Yes, wonderful. Okay. I've had the great privilege of being able to talk to each of these children separately and to spend time, a little bit of time with them. And I've heard their testimonies of faith. And I just praise God that I praise God that He can work so powerfully in children. And so I just want to testify that the other thing I want the church to know that each of these children have come here, they have asked to be baptized. They weren't prompted by mom and dad. They weren't prompted by family to say, hey, now you need to go do this. No, they each chose and went to their parents and grandparents and said, I want to be baptized. And I find that deeply encouraged, deeply encouraging. So I know they've prepared something to share, each of them. So can we start with you, Micah? I'll hold the mic like this.
When I became more aware that I was a sinner, I had a desire to follow Jesus. I asked for Jesus' forgiveness, and I'm reading the Bible. I want to live my life for Jesus. I don't want to spend my life living selfishly. I want to live in the will of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, my little sister, Kathleen.
I want to be baptized because I think that it's part of being a Christian. I am a Christian because I believe Christ died for me on the cross and rose again 3 days later. Christ died for me even though I sinned because He loved me so much He sacrificed Himself for me. I want to live for God with the Holy Spirit's help.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And now my little brother Caleb.
When I was little, I was not a Christian because I didn't really know God. Then my mom brought me to church and heard what the pastor said, and in my heart I knew it was true. Jesus created me and is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He died on the cross for my sins. Then one day in my room, I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to be my Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Then God came to my heart and helped me want to make good decisions. Since I became a Christian, there have been some hard times I've gone through that I could not have done without Christ. During those times, I've trusted God to be with me and help me. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of troubles." I love reading the Bible because God's word to us and gives us everything we need. I want to be baptized because I want everyone to know that I'm a Christian and to let everyone know that I'm going to keep seeking after God with all my heart. My favorite Bible verse says, "Have I now commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9.
Very nice. Thank you. All right. Can I have that? And Micah, why don't you head on up?
Grace Church, Michael Berardi. Micah, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Grace Church, this is Kathleen Muggy. Kathleen, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Grace Church, this is Caleb Leary. Caleb, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all people here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the way you are at work. Father, we praise you for these three who have put their faith in you. We pray, Father God, that you will continue to be at work in them through the power of your Holy Spirit to draw them in ever-deepening love for you, that they would see how high and wide and long and deep is your love for them. We pray, Father God, that you will kick aside the roadblocks that will most certainly come their way. We pray that you will surround them with people who love them, will continue to surround them with people who desire that they would know Jesus more with each passing day. And we pray, Father God, that you would be at work in each of these children throughout their lives, that they might speak the hope and the love and the gospel into the lives of many others. Father, I don't know who you've prepared for these children to meet, but I know that there are those who these children will come in contact with, that you have plans to have them be used in their story of salvation. So I entrust them into your care and keeping, because there is no name greater than yours to whom we can entrust them. And I pray this all in the precious name of Jesus, my Lord and our Savior and our God. Amen.